Fill us afresh here this morning. Be at work in our hearts. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all your people's hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, happy Good Shepherd Sunday. I don't know if you know this, but every fourth Sunday of Easter is Good Shepherd Sunday. And the gospel reading is just different slices of John chapter 10. So we get a little bit of a different turn on Good Shepherd Sunday every year, but every year there's something important about recognizing Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Now, before my wife and I and our family moved here, I served as a hospital chaplain for a little over a year. And in this hospital in Greenville, you know, you saw a little bit of everything. They had a trauma one, ER, both for adults and kids. And I got time serving in the cancer wing, in the heart tower, the trauma surgery space, the mental health space. You name it, this hospital took care of it. What struck me was that cutting across race, class, gender, when somebody requested scripture one way or another, far and away the most common was Psalm 23. Yeah. God as shepherd is especially powerful, especially comforting, especially in a hospital context where oftentimes things are not quite as they should be. Life-altering car accident, the Lord is my shepherd. Waiting to hear how bad it is, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A child being treated for something that they don't quite fully understand, as the Jesus Storybook Bible puts it, even though I walk through the dark, scary, lonely places, I won't be afraid. My shepherd knows where I am. There's something powerful about Jesus as our good shepherd. If I didn't know my Psalm 23 before my time in the hospital, I definitely knew it walking away. God is good shepherd is unusually powerful. But it begs the question, why? Right? Shepherding, it's a little bit distant for us, a little inaccessible. I think we have a general sense that God as shepherd is comforting in good times and in bad times, but what even is the nature of God's comforting of us? The flip side of this analogy, we are sheep. We're not fearless predators, we're not hunters, strong, fast, independent animals, we are sheep. How do you feel about being called sheep all throughout Scripture? How do you really feel about the need that you have, that we all have, for a shepherd? Now, there's a lot made about the stupidity of sheep, and they may not be the brightest bulb in the box, but they have their own intelligence. They're highly emotional and emotionally intelligent. Did you know, actually, that a sheep who has a happy shepherd around them produces softer wool? Fun fact. I think, though, if we focus main point on the stupidity of sheep, we are askew from the real point, that sheep are utterly vulnerable. Yes, we need a shepherd, but it's not because we're so dumb, right? It's because we're so vulnerable. It makes me think of Matthew's description of Jesus. He says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. Not, they were so dumb and couldn't solve a times table. They were harassed and helpless. So as we look at some particular vulnerabilities of sheep this morning, we'll discover some particular competencies of a shepherd. Competencies that we especially need. Pope Francis famously said, a shepherd is somebody who is behind us, before us, and with us. So that's what we're going to dive into a little bit this morning. But let's focus first on a quality of sheep, that sheep are defenseless. And so we need a shepherd who's behind us. Defenselessness. Have you ever seen a sheep growl, spit venom, shoot barbs, claw, anything? Even try to bite, they have one set of teeth. I didn't know this. They just kind of gum up on whatever it is that they're chewing. Have you ever seen a sheep roar, peck anything, outrun a single animal whatsoever? No. They don't have anything to defend themselves. They could try to kick, but their legs are like toothpicks, and they run the risk of breaking their legs. Now, they do have two kinds of defenses. The first is that they have really wide rectangle eyes, which means that without turning their head, they can almost see 360 around them. What that means is that they can see a threat coming even when they're grazing in the field. The other defense is when they see a threat, they can run, not very fast, but they run and flock together and they retreat. Now, like I said, they're not very fast, but you don't have to be very fast. You just have to be the second slowest or better. It's not that sheep are dumb. They're actually especially equipped to notice when there's a threat. They just can't hardly do anything about it. It means that without a shepherd, they live a life of fear. A flock without a shepherd is a Costco pack of Snickers waiting for nature. And generally, sheep do live a life of fear. And you know what? So do we. Fear of loss, fear of not being accepted, anxiety about the future, or will my past be discovered? Will people see who I really am? Or can I receive who I really am? Am I just no good? I've made a huge mistake. Is that going to come back and haunt me? Fear of abandonment or being taken advantage of. Fear of what others think of us. Fear of incompetence or failure. It's no wonder one of the most common biblical charges is do not fear. Because we are sheep. And we have an amazing capacity to see the threats all around us, but without the capacity to really escape it. We're vulnerable. And so we need a good shepherd who goes behind us to defend us against the many things that we might be afraid of. In a couple weeks, we'll see our bishop come and join us for worship on Sunday morning. And you'll see his staff. A bishop carries a shepherd's crook as a sign and reminder that they are shepherds for us. There's actually one up there, but our door is locked. And given that we had something stolen here this week, I want to keep the door locked. But there's a shepherd's crook up there. And on one end, you have the hook. That's what we all recognize, right? And this is the part of the shepherd's crook that redirects wandering sheep, right? A sheep wanders off, a shepherd will go and get that sheep back. Not only that, but if a sheep is trying to run, it might go right by the shepherd in this like jujitsu move will get his crook and just redirect the sheep back to the flock. The other side, though, of a shepherd's crook is intended as a weapon to fend off predators for these vulnerable sheep, who again are otherwise a Snickers bar for nature. He risks his life to run at the predator, the thing that is dangerous to the flock, warding it off with this shepherd's crook. Which is why this has actually been a symbol of kingship for millennia, this shepherd's crook. We see even all the way back in Egyptian times, they use it as a symbol of kingship, because even though they maybe exemplified a good shepherd very well, it was a value that a king is a shepherd. King David, of course, was actually a shepherd, but that imagery continued through his reign and actually became a part of the expectation of what Israel's Messiah would be, a shepherd. So having a shepherd means that we have somebody who fights for us, who brings us back into the fold. Jesus is passionately fighting for our lives. He's passionately for us. He is against the threats of defenseless creatures. Defenseless and afraid, we have a good shepherd who is behind us. We put so much energy into avoiding our fears. We build up our own defenses, our own kingdoms to avoid our fears. We medicate ourselves to try and forget what we are afraid of. Self-preservation is a powerful instinct that can be useful at times, but it's useless against the prowling lion that Peter tells us is out there and against us. But we have a shepherd who has punched the lion in the mouth, and he has rescued us from what can tear at our very souls. So what would it look like for you, a defenseless sheep, cozy up to that idea, to begin receiving your deepest fears, to trust our good shepherd with them, to know that he will protect us? So sheep are defenseless. They're also directionless. So we need a shepherd who is in front of us. What does this mean? We need a shepherd who's in front of us because a sheep, if left alone for too long, will just wander off and eventually become lost and cut off from the rest of the flock because they have no sense of direction that will bring them back home. This was little Bo Peep's fatal flaw. She assumed that if she let her sheep alone, they will eventually wander back home with their tails behind them, both of which was wrong. Sheep, even when they have everything that they need, food, flock, shepherd, water, will still just find themselves wandering off. And it doesn't take much to prompt a sheep to wander. Whether they are alone or together, a sheep can be startled by loud noises, such as running water, and get lost. When together, they are still in a void of direction, and sheep will most often just follow other sheep. This is not a positive development. There was an article I read about a flock of sheep in Turkey. There's about 1,500 sheep. And their shepherds were eating breakfast a little further away than they should have one time. And one sheep just wandered right off the cliffside. Then the next 1,499 sheep, one by one, just followed that one sheep right off the cliffside. Now, sheep died that day. But only about 400, because as the article said, the last 1,100 had a soft landing. Yes, literally what the article said. Sheep are utterly directionless without a shepherd, even when they're together, even when they're following one another. They cannot keep themselves from walking literally off a cliff, right? I'm sure you remember mom and dad saying, if your friend walked off a cliff, would you follow them? Well, the sheep would say, yes, I would. I would follow them fine. Sheep have everything they need around them, and yet still, the very thing that sustains them, water, can send them running away. See Psalm 23 again. And so it is with us. So often we seek to avoid our lack of a sense of direction. So often we mindlessly follow other sheep, whatever it is that's in front of them, without thinking. Even walking away from the very things that sustain us most. Going with the flock, even if there is a part of us that knows it's the wrong way, oftentimes still ends in walking off a cliff. We need a good shepherd who is not only behind us, but in front of us. Do you know that shepherds lead sheep when they move from one place to another? They don't drive sheep like a cattle driver aggressively behind them. A shepherd leads their flock from the front out of a relationship of trust. So, we need a shepherd who is in front of us. Our good shepherd not only leads us to the right places, but to places that we may not see or know. Places that may actually feel quite uncomfortable. But we trust our shepherd so that we might continue thriving. He knows when we need to move. He knows when things are not right, even if we can't see it yet. How often do we recognize that we need somewhere other than where we are, but we just can't figure out what that place looks like or how to get there? We don't know the way to our new pastures, but our good shepherd does. There's one in our passage, Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. Even when it feels like Jesus is leading us to a scary place, we can trust that he is seeking our abundant life. Maybe it doesn't look like what we expect it to look like, but that's what he's after for us. All the religions of the world, all the self-help gurus of the world, they all say, here's your ladder to climb yourself into enlightenment, into productivity, into fulfillment, into nirvana. Only Jesus says, I am the ladder. I am the good shepherd. I will lead you to abundant life. Trust in me, and I will get you to the place where you need, whether you can appreciate it or not. What would it look like for you to utterly trust your direction to the good shepherd with abandon? What do you need to let go of so that you might hear his voice more clearly? So we need a shepherd behind us. We need a shepherd in front of us. And of course, we need a shepherd with us. Sheep, interestingly, can barely carry their own weight because their legs, like I said, are so tiny and likely to splinter. I didn't run this by our local shepherds here, but I'm hoping they'll back me up on this. A good shepherd, for this reason, does not stand far off from the sheep, but spends time with them, gets to know them specifically, and knows best how to take care of them, how to heal them, how to lift the burdens off of their sheep as much as they can. Pope Francis, again, famously said, a good shepherd smells like the sheep. I think that's right. We see this colored in a little bit in a passage just before our reading where Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. My assumption about the door was always that this was a straight-up indicator for one-time salvation. You walk through the door, walk down the aisle, and that's it. In reality, the door is this constant going out and coming in, just like Psalm 121. He will preserve your going out and your coming in from this day forward to evermore. Your going out at the wrong time would be deadly. If the sheep are in a pen and they go out of it in the middle of the night, again, directionlessly wandering out the door, more predators, less light, no shepherd, dead meat. And so the shepherd oftentimes would literally lie down in the doorway to protect them from going out at the wrong time. Also on the coming in, the door represents this deep, true sense of being known. At the end of every day, a shepherd would make sure that the sheep are okay. As the sheep come in through the door, he would check them out, knowing them, making sure that everything's okay. You'd see this in today's kind of modern Middle East shepherding context where multiple flocks would come and graze together. And you'll see the shepherds at the end of the day, one by one, call their sheep out, and their sheep know their voice well enough to walk to them. And knowing each sheep well enough, the shepherd would begin to gently take his knowing hands, run them over the sheep's neck, hips, legs, back, to make sure that there is nothing out of sorts. No wound that needs repairing, nothing that's broken or is going to cause the sheep to deteriorate. And if there is something, this shepherd would take the burden of being healed off of the sheep and bind their wounds himself. He will preserve your going out and your coming in from this day forth and forevermore. A good shepherd is with his flock. He knows his flock. He knows their wounds and their bumps and their hurts deeply and cares about them. He will bind them up and give them life abundantly. One more thing about the sheep is that they are not beasts of burden. Their physiology, like I said, can barely carry their own weight. And so you can't put even a squirrel on the back of them without them having some real problems. Interestingly, when they fall over, they can't get back up. Think turtle or cockroach. This is called being cast down. Think Psalm 42. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why do you find yourself in a place where you are upside down and you can do nothing about it? We are sheep. We are not beasts of burden. And yet we try self-shepherding so often. We try to on our own heal our own wounds, but it's not what we're made for. We weigh ourselves down with the burden of self-sufficiency. But that's not what we're made for. In our spiritual physiology, we need a good shepherd who is always with us, who calls us by name, and whose voice somehow we know rings in us, resounds in us. Someone who smells like us and cares for us. In youth group this past week, we learned some things about the altar up here. Our two candles representing the divinity of God and the humanity of God, both holy. We need the humanity of God. We need to know that Jesus smells like us, has lived a life like us, to be able to trust him. He can get us right side up again when we are cast down. What would it look like to stop trying to heal ourselves and to give up the illusion that we can, that we are self-sufficient in that? What would it look like to give ourselves over to the healing hands of a shepherd? We are sheep. Cozy up to that idea. It's one of the most common biblical images. We are defenseless, directionless, unable to carry even our own weight at times. But we have a shepherd who is behind us, in front of us, and with us. It's not the degree to which we are dumb that tells us the degree to which we need a shepherd, right? We can't educate or think ourselves into a right place with God. It is the degree to which we are vulnerable that tells us the degree to which we need a shepherd. And in this way, we are all in the same boat. I'll close by doing a dangerous thing. They tell preachers, don't try to sneak another point in at the end. This is a half point. The Lord is my shepherd. It's so comforting because it's so true. It's so powerful because his voice is the voice that we're made for from creation. That's why, for those of us who know Jesus, for those of us who don't know Jesus, there's something eerily familiar about the voice of Christ, the voice that we hear. We can pray for our friends and family to hear that voice more and more clearly, because as a shepherd, he is always running at the things that are tearing us apart. He is always running to bring us back into the fold. The Bible spends so much space on this image because there were so many false shepherds before Jesus. We see that in our Ezekiel passage today and how devastating it feels. Did you feel that as we read that passage? Right? Shepherds who were just doing the wrong thing. There's so many false shepherds after Jesus. We could probably think of all kinds today. Jesus' claim as a good shepherd is not just a comforting claim, but it's a claim of kingship, a claim of being Messiah, a claim over our lives if we would hear it. The Ezekiel passage shows that God says, I'm going to just step in. I'm going to be your shepherd. I can't leave you to yourselves. Let me care for you. And it's interesting that his main provision seems to be not only himself, but the flock that we are a part of. It's not a flock without a shepherd, and I think that's something for us to remember. The good shepherd is the center of a good flock. This is why this community gathers every Sunday to worship this good shepherd together. Community is a great thing, but community without Christ at its center will always find itself lacking something. Because a flock is meant to have a good shepherd. Jesus is the healing, protecting, leading shepherd that we are made for. What part of his care do you especially need today? Do you need him to lead you to a new pasture? Do you need him to bind up your wounds and know your name? Do you need to be seen? Do you need Jesus to fend off the vicious predators who are after you, or to guide you back to the flock? He rushes out to bring you back. I invite you to be creative about how you might hear his voice afresh and receive his care. Let me pray for us. Lord, even now as we draw near to this image of you as shepherd, by the power of your Spirit, would you call to mind one way that each of us can move towards you, that we might receive the ways that you are moving towards us with fresh power and with fresh comfort. We pray this in your holy and precious name, Jesus. Amen.